From WKCC in Kankakee, this is Outside, the program with an outside view on wildlife, natural wonders, and the outdoors in and beyond Illinois. I'm Dale Bowman, outdoors columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times and your host on Outside. Our guest today is Bill Garman Meyer, and we're talking about gar, other native fishes, and Gar Anglers Sporting Society, or GASS, a rather witty tongue-in-cheek takeoff on bass, which is at garfishing.com. So,
how you doing, Dale?
I'm good. Good to talk to you, Bill.
Always a pleasure.
I didn't realize it had been this long. I was looking up old stories. It's been 14 years since we went fishing on the Vermilion River.
So, wow.
Did you realize it was
years.
That long?
It seems like just yesterday, but we do have to get together again and go fishing again. I am surprised.
I couldn't even pull it up on I didn't have it in any of my files other than the actual paper, but
right.
It was that long ago. So,
wow.
1999.
Wow. That was a good day.
And you know what's funny is I remember more talking to you, and when I started reading the story, I didn't remember catching that many fish. We had like 50 fish. So
yes. And we haven't gotten those numbers in the past couple of years. It's slowed down a bit out there. And I wonder if it is because the Asian carp that are showing up, either not a direct competitor, but, you know, they're disrupting the ecosystem.
Absolutely. And that could well be. I mean, they're having impacts just in spawning and, you know, eating things and,
sure.
and displacing fish, too. So
yeah. But that day, I that was kind of normal back then to have a day of 50 fish, 50 short nose.
I was going to say, because we also had one long nose and I want to say a red horse or something like that, too. So.
And white bass, too, are pretty
yep.
common. Drum. We've caught pike out there and bowfin, and it's a wonderful place.
Oh, I know what it was. It wasn't a red horse. It was a smallmouth buffalo. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Probably on a spinner because we weren't
yes.
using crawlers or anything.
No, I think we solely fished with spinners. But
so. Yeah, every once in a while you can pick up like a buffalo and they'll hit a spinner.
Yeah. You know, Bill, I don't know a great deal about you other than you're a teacher. What do you teach
from? Junior high school science.
Okay.
This year, sixth grade, but it's been sixth, seventh, eighth in the past. And it's a great life. I really love teaching. The students keep me young, and we do some important things in science. And my love for the outdoors, my connection to fishing, I can bring that in. And in addition to the classroom, I also am the sponsor of the Anglers Club at the junior high school. So we have extracurricular fishing club. And
uh-huh.
take students out, and we have some in-class sessions, and then take them out on field trips to go fishing.
Now, what kind of areas do you fish? Do you fish retention ponds or rivers, impoundments?
With the students, you know, you're talking 11, 12, 13-year-olds. You got to be concerned about safety. And we have a group of, say, 26 or so that go out along with some chaperones. And so for those reasons, we're usually fishing ponds. In our area, it's like Centennial Lake and Orland,
okay.
Tampere, Monee Reservoir, out to Four Rivers in Shanahan. That works well because there's a lot of different environments to fish there. What with the canal, the DuPage River, the Des Plaines River.
That's a fascinating, visually, that's a fascinating spot, too. So.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of fish in there. And,
yeah.
and when conditions are such that one of the locations isn't really producing, maybe another one will be. So with students, especially, you need action. They need to catch yeah. fish. It doesn't have to be, you know, the biggest fish in the lake, but they do have to have action, and that's one of my favorite spots to take the students.
And I can see why. That's a fun area. I'm surprised to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's not that surprising to take students there. But where did you grow up, and how did you end up in fishing?
Well, let's see. story begins on a cold November. No, I don't have to go that far back. 1963. I was born in Michigan.
Well, there was a lot happened in November 63. So.
Yes. And yes, just a couple weeks after I was born. So let's see. Born in Michigan, then moved to Illinois. And we were always, the whole family, we were just outdoors. Especially when we lived in Michigan, a normal thing to do on the weekend, Sunday in particular, the folks would pile us in the station wagon. We'd go out to some forest preserve. That we did that throughout the year, year after year after year, the four kids and then my folks in the station wagon. And we wouldn't fish so much. We'd, you know, collect crayfish. We'd look for bugs. We'd look at birds. We'd just be outside and you know, learning things, just whatever's there. And then the fishing, my brother, Chuck, he got into fishing first, and I'd fish with him when we were kids growing up. I didn't get really serious like a student of fishing until after my time at University of Illinois, when I got a job. That's when I really got into fishing. And my teaching job, I met Tom Lambo Lamb, the Lamb of Gar, who makes the Lambo lure, and he too really got me more into fishing and more serious about it. And now I apply my scientific mind to fishing in that I keep all sorts of records of, you know, what the weather's doing, what biological indicators while I'm fishing. I keep track of the length and number and species of the fish I catch and the bait I use. And I think that's really helped me. You know, the more data you have, the better you can be the next time you go fishing. I can refer to my log book that goes a long way back, and it gives me an idea where to fish next time.
And how long have you been keeping logbooks?
Oh, gosh, 80s.
Oh, is that right? Wow.
Yeah, 87, I think they start. They've evolved a bit over these years, but, yeah. Fishing for gar, that started in the late 90s. I was fishing at Mazonia with my big brother, Chuck. And we were just fishing for whatever we could catch, but mainly bass and catfish. And I see this thing, and gosh, I wasn't sure, but I thought, is that a gar? You know, I read about them and just knew about them, but I didn't know where they were. I've never seen one before that time. And then they started showing themselves more and more and more. And I said, for sure, that's a gar, long-nosed gar. All right. We caught absolutely no gar that day, but we came back the very next day with bait, shiners, roaches, things like that, and we started catching gar. And like the buffalo that turned William Cody into Buffalo Bill, those gars turned me into the gar man.
You know, I don't think I'd heard that story, but what do you still fish for other species deliberately or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I fish for really anything, and it depends on the time of the year. You know, certain things are active. My gar and gar anglers, we like it hot. And so those times of the year that's not hot, the gar aren't active, I'm fishing for... I begin the year in the rivers for red horse and other suckers, carp, cat. I like many species. And to that, like you talked to Olaf Nelson last week. He talked about roughfish.com, and roughfish.com is a great resource for a multi-species angler. And they've been an influence on me. I happen to think, even though I have garfishing.com, Roughfish.com is the best fishing website on the entire interwebs.
I would not argue with that, and it covers a spectrum. I put it that way of fishing. So,
And they're serious about fishing. It's fun. I mean, they have fun, but they're serious about getting better, and finding techniques to catch some of these fish that are very tough to catch, like quillbacks.
Uh-huh.
They have techniques to catch quillbacks, to catch big head and silver carp on hook and line. Very difficult to do. But they have techniques there at roughfish.com to catch those fish.
You mentioned about roughfishing.com being serious.
Roughfish.com.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't want to get that wrong. And I will make sure I get them postings up too. But garfishing.com.
Yes.
It's serious, but yet I would say puns come very easily all the way up, beginning with Gar Anglers Sporting Society. I thought it was originally Gar Anglers Sportsman Society.
We wanted to be more inclusive than bad,
okay.
So that's why I changed it from sportsman
okay.
to sporting. Yeah, we want everyone to have gas. You know, not just the sportsmen, but all people should have gas.
Okay, I threw one over the plate and you hit it out of the park. Thank you.
And you know, if you find you like the Gar Angler Sporting Society, I would hope people would pass gas on to their friends too.
I set myself up for that. So, well, and back to regular programming. Why?
Sorry for the punishment, but yes, fish lend themselves to puns very, very well.
Yes, they
now, that
do.
That came from my dad. Talk about my fishing past. The punishment. That's from dad.
Oh, is he the one that does that naturally?
Oh, he's the punster. Yes, he is.
On a serious note, if I can bring myself around, why would you want people to pass on gas about Gar?
Gar are a riot. They are just, they get big.
Yes.
Right there. They get big. Long-nosed Gar, the state record is 22 pounds, and you're talking a fish that's 55 inches. What other fish get to those numbers? And now we have the alligator gar, and you know they can get to 300 pounds. And they're tough. They got those armor-plated scales. They got teeth. Oh, when they hit, they'll take to the air. You put the hooks to them, and they'll take to the air. And you can imagine a four-foot fish clearing the water. It's just a riot. It's just plain fun. Plus, you can sight fish for long nose, and that's thrilling. Oh, when you're in a boat, you're standing up. The water's calm. It's clear enough. It's sunny. You can see. You see shapes. You get jumpy. You see a stick, and you jump. But then you finally see a four-foot long-nose gar just kind of fade into view, and your heart gets pounding, and you know you got to make the right cast because it's right there. That's when you got to make the cast. And you're shaking a bit, and you make the right cast, and the gar hits and then takes to the air and takes off and runs, scream and drag. That's my favorite kind of fishing, is sight fishing for long-nosed gar. Plus, there are other species of gar.
Yeah.
Plus, as you know, there are places where you can get, 50 fish, 50 short-nosed. Yeah. I've had two separate days in separate waters in Illinois where I've gotten over 100 short nose on lures. That's another thing. Now, hit hardware. You know, you don't have to sit with a bait. You can be casting hardware, and the short nose will pound the living daylights out of a spinner. And then you got the spotted gar, which the record is right now, the state record is 7 pounds, a little over 7 pounds. That's 36 inches or so, 37 inches. They're active during the heat of the day when other species are, they're slowed down. They're active during the summer, July, August. You don't have to get up obnoxiously early to catch them. They don't mind the middle of the day. They're prehistoric. They've been around pretty much unchanged for 100 million years. They were around when T. rex was stomping around here, and they survived. And now we have alligators, Alligator Gar in Illinois. That
Hold
is
it.
Just
Hold
incredible.
It right there. We're going to get to that. You're listening to Outside with Dale Bowman. Our guest today is Bill Garman-Meyer, and we're talking about gar, other native fishes, and Gar Anglers Sporting Society, or GASS, a rather witty tongue-in-cheek takeoff on bass at garfishing.com. We had a couple weeks ago, we had Olaf Nelson on talking about the alligator gar. He was the first one to catch one in Illinois that we know of since 1966. And at the point when he caught one, it was also the farthest north. I think you kind of cheated and went 25 yards north of him and caught a second one. So I think technically you have an unofficial record right now. So.
Right, just a couple feet north, just so I could get that one. He's gotten the first, and there's no way I could be the first, but I can be the farthest north by a couple feet.
I, you know what, I kind of understood that thinking, and I felt bad that I did understand your thinking to get one a little bit farther north. But can you describe the
maybe? But that was a wonderful day, and his catch. Oh, that was thrilling. That was thrilling. How about hearing that story? You want to hear that story?
Yeah, I would love to hear that story. And then I want to talk a little bit about that possibility down the road. So
so there were the three of us. Ben C. also, Ben Cantrell, he was the one who had a contact with the DNR. He found out where the alligator gar were stocked. And there's a number of locations along the Illinois backwaters. And so the three of us met down there. Near Peoria, and Olaf, he likes to take his time at a spot, and he'll tell you that. He is very patient and very much will stick with a spot. If he thinks it's a good spot, he'll stay. And Ben, he likes to move. You know, if things aren't happening, move to the next and the next and the next. And we had a long list of waters we were going to try because we knew, you know, this is needle in a haystack. This is one in a million. It's like finding a Nebraska farmer with a spray-on tan. You know, it's a rare occurrence, alligator gar in Illinois. So we were fishing an area, and Olaf decided he wanted to stay, and Ben wanted to move to a different area nearby. And I thought, well, okay, I'll fish with Olaf a bit, and then I'll join Ben. And so I was fishing with Olaf. Not much was happening. We had some baits out, bluegill and frozen shad. And not much was happening, so I went to join Ben at a water nearby. Just when I get there, Olaf called Ben and said, either I have a world record short nose or I caught an alligator gar. And Ben had to say, are you kidding? Are you joking? He's not joking. So we jumped in the truck and drove back. I got out of the truck, and I was still, oh, I don't know, 20 yards from it. And even from that distance, I knew that was an alligator gar. There was no doubt. Before then, we caught some short nose, and we were taking a close look at them, looking for that double row of teeth, and taking another look, and thinking and planning and took pictures. But then when we finally caught really an alligator gar, there's no mistaking it. Oh, I saw it from a distance. Olaf had it there, and it had its mouth open. You just saw nothing but teeth. It's like a shark mouth.
Yeah.
Broad snout, lots of big teeth. And it's, oh, man, I was excited. Oh, you caught an alligator gar in Illinois, the first time in almost 50 years. Oh, we were thrilled by that. And then we continued to fish. There was no moving that day. We sat on that same spot. Well, I moved a couple feet further north, but we stayed at that same spot and fished it and fished it and fished it and picked up one other alligator gar in addition to some nice cats. Ben caught a nice cat, and there's other fish around. You know, you lay a shad out in the Illinois, and there's many species that'll take it. But we got the two alligator gar on that day, and oh, they were thrilling. The fight, surprisingly, it wasn't much of a fight, but just the fact that we caught alligator gar, that's just thrilling. And we're looking ahead to the future. There was a record, the researchers from the DNR that you interviewed a while ago, they found one that, what was it, in 17 months grew to...
ungodly.
14 pounds?
Yeah, ungodly growth rates. I didn't realize they grew like that.
So. Oh, man. So you know what's coming up in the future. It wouldn't be unreasonable to see, well, 50-pound, 100-pound alligator gar. And if things fall right into place the way we'd like them to, they'll be feeding on bighead and silver carp. And that would be outstanding. That would be win, win, win. We'd have the alligator gar, they'd get big, and they'd reduce the population of these invasive fish.
That would be good. I'm curious to see whether that works or not.
So. Yeah. Yeah, and why not? I mean, it seems like the bighead and silver carp would be great food, you know, soft and at the right size, and they're reproducing, living in the same areas that the alligator gar would be. You know, we need evidence to see if that's happening, but it seems like quite a possibility.
And it'd be a good possibility. Before I forget, Knight, you had touched on it a little bit, but there are methods to gar fishing, particularly shorthead and longnose. I mean, short nose and longnose.
And they're quite a bit different. Because of the shape of their beak, you just have to target them in a different way. The longnose is the special one, unusual. That beak is skinny, very thin, all bone and teeth. It's just really tough to put a hook to them. So one route, when they're active and hitting lures, is using a rope lure without any hooks at all. Just a frayed piece of white nylon rope. That's all it takes.
Yeah, and he's not talking a hook or anything, just the rope.
No hook whatsoever. No. Just frayed rope. It looks hairy. It looks like a bucktail, but, you know, no hooks at all. And their teeth, they have so many so close together with the skinny snout, they get hung up on the frayed rope, and you can land them that way. They'll also take bait, but you really have to wait quite a while, minute, 2 minutes, for them to take the bait back into a softer part of their snout to hook them. And even then, 50% is a good day. If you're using bait for long nose, fishing for long nose, if you catch land 50% of the ones that take the bait, you have a good day. But the spotted, the short nose, because their snout is shorter and wider, the rope lures don't work very well at all because their teeth are not packed together. And regular conventional lures work a lot better. Spinners, crankbaits. You can set the hooks to a short nose or a spotted gar.
How many gar?
And then the alligator gar, we need to do more research. You know, this is based on just the three. There were the two that day, and then Ben C. had a friend that caught an alligator gar at the same spot. So just based on the three, none of those were caught with lures, even though we were throwing lures. So whether they'll hit a lure, I don't know. In these conditions here in Illinois, most often they're fished for using bait, chunks of shad or chunks of buffalo, chunks of carp, that kind of thing, bluegill.
How many species of gar have you caught?
This is four now.
Oh, you've caught the four that we have in the state now.
Yeah, four in the state of Illinois. The only one that I haven't caught that is in the United States is the Florida gar, which is found just in mid and southern Florida.
Have you been to the gar exhibit at the shed?
Solomon David's. No, I haven't gotten there yet, but I will. In the off season, we have plans to make a gar pilgrimage to the shed aquarium.
A gar pilgrimage. That's... That's an interesting way to look at it. And speaking of pilgrimage, what is your favorite gar spot in Illinois?
Well, again, it depends on the species.
Okay. Let's start with long nose.
Mazonia.
Okay.
Mazonia. Mazonia has a great population of long nose gar, and they get big. I would not be surprised to find a state record in Mazonia.
And I think you would be absolutely right in assuming that. I'm pretty sure there's one there, too.
So from... It's 22 pounds. I've caught at Mazonia up to 52 inches, 18 pounds. So, you know, you catch things right, a female full of eggs, that 22-pound record, that can be broken. And I think those fish swim in Mazonia.
And I know that they've had some monsters on the Kankakee, too, that, I mean,
right.
that they
yeah.
couldn't get in because I guess apparently they can handle electroshocking better than some fish. And so,
mm-hmm. Right, right.
So I mean, I think the genetics are here for that in this area. So, short nose.
Short nose. There are tributaries of the Illinois that are thick with short nose. Plus, I go down to southern Illinois, downstream of the Rend Lake Dam. It's on the mm-hmm. Big Muddy River.
Beautiful spot.
Short nose and spotted gar, too.
That was my next question. Where do you go? Because that's a little more rare. But
the spotted gar?
Spotted gar.
Yeah.
Or in our end, it's not.
It's interesting. Their population is strange in that they're more of a southern fish. You had to go south of Springfield, for example, to get into spotted gar. But then there's also a population up in Michigan. So they're separate populations, but still the same species. And I've caught them in lakes in Michigan, too, and in southern Illinois. And they're nice because they will hit hardware, and they get big, bigger than a short-nosed gar.
It's funny, you had mentioned Solomon David earlier. He thinks there may be some spotted gar in our area and that they just haven't been found yet.
But mm-hmm.
He thinks that's a possibility. So
I'd like to find them. I think there's, among many fishermen, I think it's easy to mistake some fish for a spotted gar
mm-hmm.
because the long nose, sometimes they get spots. The short nose look a little spotted. I think there's some mistaken identity sometimes. Solomon David is not going to
make the identity
of a gar. He knows his stuff. I'd love to be the one to find spotted gar up here.
It would be interesting because his
I haven't encountered them yet, and I've caught quite a few gar around here.
Yes.
I haven't encountered ones that I knew for sure were spotted gar. They'd have clear, like dime-sized spots on the head, very clear. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
But I'd like to.
I think his theory is that it may be related to that spotted gar, what the Great Lakes version of the spotted mm-hmm. gar that they may have.
Yeah, the Michigan
yeah,
one.
So.
Yeah, well, I have more reason to fish then.
Yes. I think you don't. I think you have plenty of reason to fish, but
a lot more to learn.
That's all the time we have, believe it or not, for the program.
Wow.
Yes,
time flies when you're talking gar, they always say.
I would like to thank our guest, Bill Garman-Meyer, and I'm Dale Bowman.
Thank you, Dale.
Uh-huh. Join me for another edition next week.
Outside is a production of WKCC Public Radio, 91.1 FM at Kankakee Community College. More information on this program and other programs at wkccradio.org.